Quick! Fill up the opening with these stones.
Before the dogs were baying and yelping at the cave mouth, they had it pretty well filled. And now, of course, there was no light at all.
Further in, quick!
But I can't see. Let's all hold hands. You're in the lead, Puddle Glum.
Right. I think we can stand up. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if we put our heads into a spider's web or a bat. Ready? I'll move ahead and mind the loose stones underfoot. Mind the wall too. I'll try to the right. Question is whether taking one thing with another, it wouldn't be better to go back, if we can, and give those giants a treat at that feast of theirs, instead of losing their way in the guts of the hill, where Tinker won these dragons and deep holes and gases and water. Look out! Save yourself!
Is everyone all right? Bruises and scratches, but no broken bones. Puddle Glum?
The same.
Good. Well, we can never get back up there again.
Have you noticed how warm it is? That means we're a long way down. Might be nearly a mile. Let's have some light. Oh! My tinderbox has gone.
I'm terribly thirsty.
What brings you here?
Who's there?
Creatures of the overworld. I am the warden of the marches of the underland. And with me stand 100 earthmen in arms. Tell me quickly who you are and what is your errand in the deep realm.
What? Oh, we fell down. By accident.
Many fall down, and few return to the sunlit lands. Make ready now to come with me to the Queen of the Deep Realm.
What does she want with us?
I do not know. Her will is not to be questioned, but obeyed.
There was a noise, like a soft explosion. And immediately a cold light, grey with a little blue in it, flooded the cavern. All hope that the speaker had been idly boasting when he spoke of his 100 armed followers died at once. Jill found herself blinking and staring at a dense crowd. They were of all sizes, from little gnomes barely a foot high to stately figures taller than men. All carried three-pronged spears in their hands, and all were dreadfully pale, and all stood still as statues. Apart from that, they were very different. Some had tails and wore great beards, and others had very round, smooth faces, big as pumpkins. There were long, pointed noses and long, soft noses like small trunks, and great, blobby noses. Several had single horns in the middle of their foreheads. But in one respect, they were all alike. Every face in the whole 100 was as sad as a face could be. They were so sad that after the first glance, Jill almost forgot to be afraid of them. She felt she would like to cheer them up.
Well, this is just what I needed. If these chaps don't teach me to take a serious view of life, I don't know what will. Look at that fellow with the walrus moustache. Or that one with the...
Now, march.
The cold light came from a large ball on the top of a long pole, and the tallest of the gnomes carried this at the head of the procession. By its cheerless rays, they could see that they were in a natural cavern. The walls and roof were knobbed, twisted, and gashed into a thousand fantastic shapes, and the stony floor sloped downward as they proceeded. When, as they went on, the cave got lower and narrower, and when at last the light-bearer stood aside and the gnomes one by one stooped down and stepped into a little dark crack and disappeared, Jill said...
I can't go in there, Eustace.
What do you mean?
I get claustrophobic. I can't stand small, tight places like that. I can't go on. I won't.
Oh, steady, steady, Jill. Those big fellows wouldn't be crawling in there if it didn't get wider later on. Hmm? And there's one thing about being underground. We shan't get any rain.
Oh, you don't understand. I can't.
Think how I felt on that cliff, Jill. You go first, Puddleglum, and I'll come after her.
That's right. Now, you keep a grip of my heels, Jill, and Eustace will hold on to yours.
Yes.
Then we'll all be comfortable.
Comfortable?
Jill got down, and they crawled on their elbows. It was a nasty place. You had to go flat on your face for what seemed like half an hour, though it may really have been only 5 minutes. It was hot. Jill felt she was being smothered. But at last, a dim light showed ahead. The tunnel grew wider and higher, and they came out, hot, dirty and shaken, into a cave so large that it scarcely seemed like a cave at all. It was full of a dim, drowsy radiance. The floor was soft, with some kind of moss, and out of this grew many strange shapes, branched and tall like trees, but flabby like mushrooms. Across this mild, soft, sleepy place,
onward,
they were now made to march. They passed dozens of strange animals lying on the turf, either dead or asleep. Jill couldn't tell which.
What are they? Dragons? Bats?
I don't know.
Warden, do they grow here?
No. They are all beasts that have found their way down by chasms and caves. Out of the overland, into the deep realm. Many come down, and few return to the sunlit lands. It is said that they will all wake at the end of the world.
When they had walked for several miles, they came to a wall of rock, and in it a low archway leading into another cavern. It brought them to a smaller cave, long and narrow, about the shape and size of a cathedral. And here, filling almost the whole length of it, lay an enormous man, fast asleep. He was far bigger than any of the giants, and his face was not like a giant's, but noble and beautiful. His breast rose and fell gently under the snowy beard which covered him to the waist. A pure silver light rested upon him.
Who's that?
That is old Father Time, who was once a king in the overland, and now he has sunk down into the deep realm and lies dreaming of all the things that are done in the upper world. Many sink down, and few return to the sunlit lands. They say he will wake at the end of the world.
And out of that cave, they passed into another, and then another, and another, always going downhill, with each cave being lower than the last. Then they passed into a cave so wide and dark that they could see nothing of it except that right in front of them a strip of pale sand ran down into still water.
An inland sea and a ship.
There, beside a little jetty, lay a ship without mast or sail, but with many oars.
Get in.
They were made to go on board and led forward to the bows, where there was a clear space in front of the rowers' benches and a seat running round inside the bulwarks.
One thing I'd like to know is whether anyone from our world, from up top I mean, has ever done this trip before.
Many have taken the ship at the Pale Beaches.
A few return to the sunlit lands. You needn't say it again. You are a chap of one idea, aren't you?
The children huddled close together on each side of Puddle Glum. Looking ahead, they could see nothing but smooth, dark water fading into absolute blackness.
Whatever will become of us?
Now, don't you let your spirits down, Jill. There's one thing you've got to remember. We're back on the right lines, We were to go under the ruined city, and we are under it. We're following the instructions again.
The gnomes rode, and the children gradually fell asleep. But when they woke, everything was just the same. How often they woke and slept and ate and slept again, none of them could ever remember. At last, they saw lights ahead, dreary lights like that of their own lantern. Then quite suddenly, one of these lights came close, and they saw that they were passing another ship. After that, they met several ships. Then, staring till their eyes hurt, they saw that some of the lights ahead were shining on what looked like wharfs, towers, walls, and moving crowds.
Wow. Look at that.
By Jove! It's a city!
Oh,
it's an odd city, though. The lights are so few and far apart. They'd hardly do for cottages, let alone a city.
Still, there's a lot of activity. All those gnomes loading and unloading the ships, crowded in the streets.
But they're so quiet. Where's the normal city noise?
Make fast the ship!
Their ship was brought alongside a quay and made fast. The three travelers were taken ashore and marched up into the city. Eventually they came to what appeared to be a great castle, though few of the windows in it were lighted. Here they were taken in and made to cross a courtyard and climb many staircases. This brought them in the end to a big, dimly lit room. But in one corner of it, there was an archway filled with a quite different sort of light, the honest, yellowish, warm light of such a lamp as humans use. What showed by this light inside the archway was the foot of a staircase which wound upward between walls of stone. Two earthmen stood, one on each side of the arch, like sentries.
Many sink down to the underworld.
And few return to the sunlit lands.
There they go again.
I have brought these overlanders to the Queen.
The Queen's grace is gone from hence on her great affair.
We'd best keep these top dwellers in straight prison till her homecoming.
Few return to sunlit lands.
Where do they go, then?
What coil are you keeping down there, Malagathorum?
Overworlders.
Overworlders? Ha! Bring them up to me, and that presently.
Please it, Your Highness, to remember...
It pleases my Highness to be principally obeyed, old mutterer. Bring them up.
Follow me.